In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God is good. And all the time. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And as I often say, truth will endure to all generations. Error will one day cease, along with those who persist in living their lives by error. Let me say that again. Truth has existed as long as God has existed. Jesus says, "I am truth." Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, the God is truth. 1 John 5, verse 6, the Holy Spirit is truth. As long as the Godhead has existed, truth has existed. As long as the Godhead will exist, truth will exist. Error, an invention of a created being called Satan, will one day come to an end. Now listen to these words. Along with those who persist in living their lives by error. I'm happy to see you. I thank God for your presence. And I thank him doubly for this immeasurably high honor of speaking for him. And so my pledge to God is to give you, thus saith the Lord, and keep my opinions to myself. Who is with us who is not a Seventh-day Adventist? May I see your hand? Would you kindly stand and tell us your name? Good morning. What's the name? Peter is a powerful Bible name. Peter, how are you? It is nice to see you. Kindly tell us, Peter, who invited you? Your wife is an angel, but she has no wings. She'll get some when Jesus comes. Peter, God bless you. Please come again. Say amen for Peter. Amen. Say it again. Amen. Now remember, Peter, we'll be here all week. Please come again, and may God bless your life and usher you into his kingdom when he comes. Thank you very much for coming, Brother Peter. You may be seated, Brother Peter. Who else? You're not a Seventh-day Adventist. Someone is doing that, but I don't see the object of your finger pointing. Who is it? Dr. David. How are you, Dr. David? How are you? Well, tell everyone your name in your own voice. Tell them your name in your own voice. Hello? Mm-hmm. Oh, good. We're happy to hear that, David. You will be. You will be. Yes. Let the church say amen. Any opposed? David, you're a Seventh-day Adventist by faith. Give us a little time. We'll put you in the pool. Amen and amen. David, thanks for coming. And God bless your life. And use you to be a blessing to others. David, you may be seated. Is there anyone else who is not a Seventh-day Adventist? But you all, we have a daughter of God in the back. Good morning. How are you? Good. What's your name? Patricia Rogers. Hello, Patricia. Where are you from? You're from where? He's from here. Oh, okay, good. God bless that county. And who invited you? You saw the sign. Ah, God bless you. I want you to see another sign. It's the sign of the Creator. Can you say amen? God bless you, Patricia. Keep coming. Say amen for our sister Patricia. She saw the sign. I wish more of us would see signs that Christ is coming soon and get ready for that event. Do not allow the coming of Christ to catch you unawares. Let me welcome those connecting with us via the internet, wherever you are on God's green earth. Thank you very much for fellowshipping with us. And may the Lord bless you as superabundantly as we believe He will bless us in this building. Let me thank, is it Pastor Royo? Is that correct? Where is he? Is he somewhere alive and well? Oh, thank you very much, my handsome pastor, for the honor of occupying this sacred desk. May the Lord grant you wisdom from above so that you may lead your flock not only forward, but upward. Leadership in the church is not easy. Moses asked God to do what? To kill him. And let me tell you something. We are worse than ancient Israel, because we know more. To whom much is given, much is required. Pray for your leaders of your church, of your conference, of your union, of your division, and of the GC. The devil attacks them relentlessly, because if you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. So pray for your pastor. God bless him. I thank my good brother Bliss for inviting me. I've come here a few times now at his request. I am very grateful. And anytime he calls me and I have the time, I will surely come. You look good, and God is responsible for that. Will you say amen? All right. It's 25 to 12. I want to release you in good time, because I have to rush to the airport right after the 3 o'clock. So we end, then we have lunch, then I speak at 3, run to the airport, do some business, come back tomorrow, and continue. Now, all of you, come back at 3. The Sabbath morning is holy, so is the Sabbath afternoon. There is an undocumented belief among us that Sabbath afternoon is not as holy as Sabbath morning. And we see that in the way we dress for Sabbath afternoon programs. The Sabbath is holy from sunset on Friday to sunset on every second is equally holy. Are you following me? So come back this afternoon and fellowship with us again. Our subject for today, the workman and his tools. What did I say? I heard, is it, who was the brother who conducted song service? I like the way he does it. Brother who? Reverend Ho. A-Ho. Spell it for me. Oh, Brother O. Brother O, I have sinned, but not intentionally. Forgive me. I enjoyed your song service last night. Let me make a complaint. I go to churches all around, and there's a tendency now to move away from the hymns and sing these little things. They're not too bad, but, you know, it's as if people are developing a literal hatred for the hymns. So last night I listened, I said, I don't believe what I'm hearing. A song service with hymns. And so, Brother O, may the Lord bless you as you exercise your song service gifts and always use the hymns of faith. When I was a boy, every Sabbath we'd sing Sabbath songs. Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest. Oh, Day of Rest and Gladness. You don't hear these things anymore. You have people conducting song service at the pulpit, and three quarters of the audience doesn't know what to do because they don't know the song. Enough of my venting. Our subject, the workman and his tools. I heard Brother O ask you to turn these things off. We appreciate technology, but these don't ring. So please open your Bible, and they don't need to be plugged in. Okay. Second favor, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, Put your words in that man's mouth. That request I offer with concentrated seriousness. Ask God to put his words in my mouth. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And favor number 3, think as you listen. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, I bow in your presence. I come at your request. You sent me. Father, when you send someone, you equip them, you empower them. Do that for me, Father, or I will simply be sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal in this desk. If I've sinned against you, forgive me. Cleanse me, Father, and give me a little more hatred for sin, which is another way of saying, give me more love for righteousness. Lord, you've given me a voice to glorify you, a mind to glorify you. I submit them now for your control. Speak through me, Father. I am mindful of your words in Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. So you take it, Father. But please, Lord, help me to do the work of preaching in a way that brings glory to your name and blessing to your people in this building and via the internet. Thank you for life. Thank you for freedom of worship in this country still, because it won't last forever. Now let the words that I speak be your words, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. The workman and his tools. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. The sooner you find the passages, the sooner we can get out of here. I don't mean to sound as though we're eager to leave, but the sooner I can let you go so that you can get ready for 3. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, how did God do that? How did God do that? We will learn something about the way God functions today that is of absolute importance in our Christian walk, in our service to the church. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's go to Colossians 1. We'll read verse 16. Colossians 1, reading verse 16. The workman and his tools. Colossians in the New Testament, one of the epistles of Paul. You have Colossians 1. And nobody answered the preacher. Okay, all right. Okay. Colossians 1. Let's read from verse 16. For by him were all things created. How many things? All things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Let's stop right there. Well, let's go on. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, we have some information from Colossians. We add it to Genesis, which is more general, Colossians more specific. Genesis says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And Colossians gives us some details, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, and the list could go on and on. The question remains, how did God do that? As we continue, the workman and his tools, and as you are saying, God, put your words in that man's mouth. Go to verse 2, and let's continue from Genesis 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'm in Genesis chapter 1, going to 3 now. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now we come to the details of creation on day one. And God said. And God divided. God said, and the light came. God saw the light. He pronounced it good. He said nothing about the darkness. Then God decided light and darkness must not coexist. And God divided. It is from this that Paul says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath what? Light with darkness. What's the answer? None. So young people, if you have your eyes on someone, and there's nothing wrong with that, let your eyes look at that person through 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship hath light with darkness? I can go on for the rest of the day on that subject, but I won't. Young men, young women, listen to me. If you're the age for romance, and there is nothing wrong with romance. Note what I said, if you're at the age for romance. Because when God put Adam and Eve together, he put a man and a woman, not a boy and a girl. Is this mic working? It's working. All right. Okay. God put a man and a woman, not a boy and a girl. So if you're at the age of emotional, spiritual, physical responsibility and development, and you see someone, look at that person through 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, so God divided the light from the darkness. Now, how did God do that? Verse 3 tells us, and God said. How did God create? His word. So the word of God, what's our subject? What is the word of God? A tool. Give me another word. For tool. Give me another word for tool. An instrument. Give me another word. Starts with an A, ends with a T. The next word is a G. A-G-E. An agent. God's word is a tool. It is an instrument. It is an agent that God uses. What are we learning about God? God likes to use things and people to accomplish his purposes. Now, God being God, he is not compelled to do that. There's a beautiful expression that I came across where Ellen White writes, we were brought into existence because we were needed. I said, hallelujah. We were brought into existence because we were needed. And so God used the word as a tool. Let us go to verse 14 of Genesis 1 as we continue the workman and his tools. Verse 14, Genesis 1. Just before I go on, let me say another prayer. Father, continue to be with me, please. If I've gone ahead of you, forgive me. As I speak, let me listen to the Spirit telling me say this or don't say that. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 14, Genesis 1. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to do what? Divide the day from the night. Go on. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so now. God chose a way to illuminate the world. What did he use? The sun, come on. The moon, come on. The stars. The sun, the moon, the stars are tools, are instruments, are agents of God. Let me tell you something about a tool. If you wanted to replace your garbage disposal in your kitchen, there's a little tool you need, the Allen wrench. You can't just put the Allen wrench on the sink and it works. Are you with me? Someone has to
use it.
So God is still involved, you understand. A tool is something used by someone. So that the power is the person, not the tool. Oh, you missed it. You see, I'm coming to the point where we are tools of God. And we need to understand, as much as I'm a tool of God now, and you hear my physical voice, the power is God, not me. The Son. In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 114, paragraph 4, what did I say? Try it again. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 114, paragraph 4. Nature is the servant of her creator. Tell me something about nature. Identify an item of nature, quickly. A tree. A tree is a servant of God. Let's identify an item on the tree. A leaf. Every leaf, finish my words, is a servant of God. Now, you're very kind. You're saying, mm-hmm. Are you receiving the impact of what I'm telling you? Every leaf is a servant of God. The Desire of Ages, page 20, paragraph 2. What did I say? There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives unto itself. No bird that cleaves the air, no animal that moves upon the ground, but ministers to some other life. There is no leaf of the forest or lowly blade of grass, but has its ministry. Every tree and shrub and leaf pours forth that element of life without which neither man nor animal could live. And man and animal in turn minister to the life of tree and shrub and leaf. The flowers breathe fragrance and unfold the beauty and blessing to the world. The sun sheds its light to gladden a thousand worlds. The ocean, itself the source of all our springs and fountains, receives the streams from every land, but takes to give. The mists ascending from its bosom fall in showers to water the earth, that it may bring forth and bud. The Desire of Ages, page 20, paragraph 2, the servant of the Lord writes, everything in nature was made to carry out a function to serve as a tool of God. The workman and his tools. God used his word to create. His word created the sun, moon, and stars. Then he used the sun, moon, and stars as instruments of light for the earth and to divide the seasons and to split the day from light to day. Instruments, tools, agents in the hand of God. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll read from verse 1. Our subject, the workman and his tools. Hebrews 1, reading from verse 1. I want my internet friends to know you're on my mind. May God bless you as you follow along with us wherever you are. And if the word moves your heart, make a decision as verily as I will ask those in this church to make a decision. You don't have to be in a church to make a decision for God. You just need to hear the word and you can make your choice. Wherever you are, even if you're listening to this in a bar, you can make a choice for God. What book did I say? Hebrews. What chapter? 1. From what verse? 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now pick it up with me. Whom he hath appointed heir, come on, of all things, finish it now, by whom also he, the, yes, now, we have another agent of God. Name that agent. Jesus Christ. Now, refrain from using the word tool and instrument. Jesus is an agent. Are you following me? Did you hear what I said? Jesus was and is the agent of God. Listen to verse 2 again of Hebrews 1. Read with me, what does that say? But in these last days spoken unto us how? By his Son. Keep reading carefully. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Come on. By whom also he. Come on. Now, who is whom? Who is whom? Who is he? According to that verse, who created? He the Father. But how? Through Jesus, the agent. Now, yes, it was Christ who said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. But as an agent, finish my words, of the Father. Go to Ephesians 3. Our subject, the workman and his tools. Ephesians 3, let's read verse 9. Do you have that? How many of you have the King James Version? Can you raise them? Oh, so when I ask you to read with me, you should run me out. Read with me. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, read carefully now, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden. God, finish the verse. Who created? According to that verse, who created? How? By Jesus Christ. Christ created at the behest of the Father. Recite John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, thou hast sent him. Verse 14. I have glorified thee on the earth. That's John 17:4. I have finished the work, finished the verse, which thou givest me to do. John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. In other words, as I am your agent, so are these disciples, finish my words, my agents. Listen to me carefully. God loves to use instruments, tools, and agents. There's another tool that God uses. Of course, that's us. In Matthew 5, go there with me, verse 13. We read Matthew 5, verse 13. Matthew, Gospel 1. Matthew was a tax collector or a publican. They were hated by the Jews because they collected too much taxes, gave the Romans theirs, and they kept some for themselves. And they were absolutely despised by the Jews. Matthew was one. But when he met Christ, his life underwent a radical change. What Christ did for Matthew, the thief, he can do for you. Paul was a murderer of Christians. When he met Christ, he went from killing people to giving his life for the gospel. Regardless of your condition, listen to me, Christ can fix it. I heard about 12 people say amen, and there are a lot of people in this church. I said, regardless of your condition, Christ can fix it. And believing that with all your heart is the faith of Jesus, which goes along with the commandments, which are the third angel's message. Are you with me? The commandments of God, the faith of Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 13. Read with me. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under food of men. Now, God says, ye have the salt. What does the salt do? It preserves. But who's the ultimate preserver? God. But God uses us, through whom he mediates that preserving power. What an honor to have God use you as a channel through which his power passes. Verse 14, read with me. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, John 8:12 tells us, I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1:9. Now, but the Bible says, the words of Christ, ye are the light of the world. I have chosen you through whom to reflect my light. I have chosen you as an instrument. Are you with me? As a tool, as an agent. Let's review the agents, the tools, the instruments we've come across. One, God's word is a tool, an instrument. Two, God made the sun, the moon, the stars. They are instruments in the hands of God. And we read from God's servant, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 114, paragraph 4, nature is the servant of her creator. Actually, that quotation goes on to say, God does not annul nor work contrary to his laws. He is continually using them as instruments. You said amen, thank you. Did you get the connection? Listen again. Nature is the servant of a creator. God does not annul or work contrary to what? His laws. Now keep your mind on laws and listen. But is continually using them. What is them? The laws as instruments. Recite John 17:17 for me. Sanctify them. Truth. All right. Let's read that again, this time microscopically. Sanctify them. Stop. Jesus tells the Father in prayer, sanctify them. The Father could have said, how? What does Jesus say? Through thy truth. What is truth? What is truth? Yes, but what is truth? In the light of my subject, what is truth? A tool, an instrument, an agent. Sanctify them through thy truth. Use truth to sanctify them. Now, we just read God uses his laws as instruments. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, let's find out about sanctification as we continue the workman and his tools. And this is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, even your sanctification, which is the process of removing all impurities from the life and perfecting. It goes on and on and on. Because even when we're sinless in the new world, we're still developing and developing. Are you with me? Are you with me? We're still developing. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And Jesus said, here's how it's done, through the word. But then he says something about the word. The word is truth. So that sanctify them through thy truth. Okay. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We read verse 142. Do you have that? Before we read that, for where you've already read it, but before we read it publicly, out loud, let's listen to John 17:17 again. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay. How much of God's word is truth? All of it. All scripture, come on, is given by inspiration of God, come on, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which is the opposite of sin. Sanctification is the process of learning to live a righteous life. Now, let's read Psalm 119, verse 142 out loud. Are you ready? Read with me. Come on, what does it say? Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Finish it now. And thy law is the truth. What did Jesus tell his Father to use to sanctify us? The truth. Is the law truth? Is the law then used in the process of sanctification? Yes. But remember, it's a tool. Because the power is always God. Are you with me? The power is Christ. The power is the Holy Ghost. They use tools. They use agents. They use instruments. The Bible says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. When you say law or commandment, go to verse 151 of Psalm 119. Verse 151. Let's read that out loud. Do you have that? Read with me. Thou art near, O Lord. Come on. Now the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Have we established that God's law is truth? Yes or no? We have two witnesses. Let's get another one. Malachi chapter 2. We want to make sure the critics have nothing to say. So the Bible says, if anyone will compel you to go a mile, what should you do? So we're going beyond two or three witnesses now so that we can shut down opposition. Malachi 2 verse 6, speaking of the Levites, who were the priests. Read the first part of Malachi 2:6. The law of truth was in his mouth. Keep reading. And iniquity was not found in his lips. Now let me digress and make a connection. Where God's law exists, sin does not exist. What's the third favor I ask you to do? Think. Look at Malachi 2:6 again. Where was the law of God? Where was there no iniquity? His lips or mouth, same thing. You see, sin and the law cannot occupy the same space. What is sanctification? The process of removing what? Sin, weaknesses from us. The law of truth was in his mouth. Because of that, iniquity was not found in his lips. When the law is written in the heart, sin has no role to play in the life. Can you make a mistake? Yes, but that's not a lifestyle. No one's listening. I'm talking to myself. A sin is not a lifestyle. So we have fruit. We have Malachi 2:6, a witness that the law is the truth. We have Psalm 119, 142, the law is the truth. We have Psalm 119, 151, the law is the truth. So we've covered, but let's go beyond. Let's go to Romans 2. Our subject is what? The workman and his tools. What's our theme? What's our theme for the week? Hope in whom? Jesus. We need to know who this ultimate agent of God is. Hope in Jesus. We need to understand Jesus is an agent of the Father for our good and for the Father's glory in the reverse order. For his glory and for our good. Romans 2 from verse 17. When you found that, say amen. Okay, let me pray again. Dear God, I've gone past the middle part of the message. Now, Father, I ask you again, in an act of mercy, speak through me very, very clearly because Satan hates your law. Speak to me clearly, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Romans 2:17, read with me now. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Keep reading. Are not confident that thou thyself art a guide of the what? A light of them which are in darkness, a instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. Keep reading now. Which have what? The form of? Keep going. And of what? The truth where? In the law. That's four times. God's law is truth. I'll go further. The highest expression of truth in the Bible is Exodus 23 through 17. Let me not assume anything. What is found in Exodus 23 through 17? The Ten Commandments. Okay. We're dealing with 21st century Adventists. Don't assume anything. The Ten Commandments are the highest expression of truth. Let me tell you why. Listen, don't go, just listen. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the whole matter? Everything that has to do with exists. This is a man who lived his life on both sides. Are you with me? Obedient to God, and he left God. He looks back in his old age, and he makes a summary statement. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Two things. Fear God, come on, and keep his commandments, come on, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, the law of God, I don't mean the ceremonial law, the commandments, are the whole duty of man. Listen to Patriarchs and Prophets, page 364, paragraph 2. What did I say? If man had kept the law of God as given to Adam after his fall, preserved by Noah and observed by Abraham, there would have been no necessity for the ordinance of circumcision. And if the descendants of Abraham had kept the covenant of which circumcision was a sign, they would never have been seduced into idolatry. Neither would it have been necessary for them to suffer a life of bondage in Egypt. They would have kept God's law in mind, and there would have been no necessity for it to be proclaimed from Sinai or engraved on the tables of stone. And had the people practiced the principles of the Ten Commandments, there would have been no need for the additional directions or directives given to Moses. All the statutes and judgments, no need for that. All God wanted them to have were the Ten Commandments. This is the whole duty of man, by the way, and of angels. If this is all I require, this is my truth for your life. Did Adam sin, yes or no? How did he do that? He broke the law. He broke the law. Before Adam was even made, did Lucifer sin? How did he do that? He broke the law. Why did Christ come? Because of sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Now, the law of God is all he requires. That's all he writes on the heart. Now, God's law is an instrument by which he brings about sanctification. Someone would say, hey, Randy Ski said the law gives life. I didn't say that. Because I said earlier, for every tool, there must be a workman who uses it. Are you following me? Medical Ministry, page 9, paragraph 2. What did I say? Listen carefully. God has laws which he has instituted, but they are only servants through which he effects results. When God made the world, if you read Job 38, did he give a command to the waves thus far and no further, yes or no? Yes. How does he do that? There are laws that operate through the moon and to some degree the stars that control the waves. But those laws are under whose control? God. There's no self-practicing law. All laws are under God's control. Are you following me? They are instruments of God. The Ten Commandments of God are truth. And if there had never been sin, we would have had the law. After sin is done away with, we will have the law. The law has always been there. Truth has always been there. And in this era of sin, truth is a sanctifying instrument, agent, and tool. And the power that uses God's law is God. The power of God's word is God. The power that allows the sun to do its work is God. Let me be more specific. Is the Creator, who is Christ, working at behest of the Father. My brothers and my sisters, why do we get sick? We violate what? The laws of health. Health is not found in a vitamin. Health is found in the laws of health. When obeyed, the result is health. If health were in a vitamin, there would be no need to obey God. I'm not saying go to your home immediately and throw out all that you bought from GNC. I'm not saying that. I'm saying understand what's happening. When you and I obey the laws of health, because God used his laws to bring about results. The result of obedience to the laws of health is health. I told the congregation once, more than once, people don't die of cancer. They die of sin. And you're saying to me, explain that. What causes sickness? Give me one word. Sin. Don't look so stupefied. Sin causes sickness. It may not be the sin you have created, but you live in a sinful world. Sin causes sickness. Remove sin and all sickness vanish. Which means the ultimate health principle to follow is obey God. Allow his tools to work in your life. And so we see that God's word is a tool. The sun, the moon, the stars are tools. Pay attention, Prophets 1:14, paragraph 4, nature is the servant of a creator. Actually, in Bible Commentary, volume 1, page 10, 85, paragraph 5, Ellen White writes, all of nature is confused. Give me one word that explains why. Sin. She goes on to say, because God forbid the earth to carry out the purpose for which he had designed it. Are you following me? Sin has confused nature. The workman and his tools. Let me come to the close of this message by directing your minds to Genesis 1, verse 26. You know it without looking. Look right at me. Don't look down. Tell me Genesis 1, 26, at least the first sentence. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Stop. That was God giving us a job description at creation. Your job description as mine is to reflect God before sin. Are you with me? Before sin, we were to reflect. Elamite writes, all of heaven took a deep and joyful interest in the creation of man. They were a new and distinct order. Nothing had been seen like them. They were a new and distinct order, different from those on unfallen worlds. They were a new and distinct order. They were made in the image of God. Conflict and Courage, page 21, paragraph 5. God created man for his glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says the same thing, that after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. That co-joining had never been seen. Are you with me? We have God. We have the angels. Seraphim, cherubim, whoever, those in unfallen worlds, and maybe beings we know nothing about. But no one had ever seen God combine himself with one of them. Are you listening to me? God's purpose was, look, I'm going to make people. And if they pass the test, I will join myself to them. Not with angels. With them. And through that union, demonstrate and publicize my glory even more powerfully. Then sin came in. And God has not changed his purpose. He has not changed his purpose. Because sometime in eternity, we will be connected with God, resulting in a being that no one understands now. And we will occupy the position Satan had, but even higher. Even higher, because Satan was not combined with God. Are you following me? No, you're not following me. Satan and God didn't combine. Now, God made him as much as possible like himself. The Faith I Live By, page 66, paragraph 2, speaking of Satan, Lucifer, Elohite writes, God made him good and beautiful, as near as possible like himself. But they were not combined. God will one day combine humanity with divinity. But now, he uses us as the instruments to advertise his glory. And so the heavens declare the glory of God, but the heavens were not made in the image of God. What are in the heavens? The stars. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, the sun, the moon, and stars. Made by God, reflect God's, yes, his love for beauty and order and symmetry. But the Bible does not say, let's make the sun, moon, and stars in my image. That is only applied to mankind. So which means wherever God's glory is seen, it should be seen most clearly in us. So while I said the sun is a tool, the moon is a tool, the stars are tools, the greatest created tool is us. To reflect the glory of God. Today, God wants to use you. Youth instructor, June 24, 1897, paragraph 3. God has called his children to be his instruments by which his work shall be accomplished. If the president called you to serve in the State Department, you'd probably jump up for joy. Or if the United Nations called you to be an ambassador on an international level, you travel to Spain, then Switzerland, then Malaysia, then in Kenya, you'd be happy. Now, God is calling you to show the world what he's like. Mm-hmm. Whether you're 6 or 60 or 160. Listen to what I'm saying. God has called you. to be the tool, give me another word, the agent, give me another word, the instrument by which he reflects to the world his glory. A workman must have tools. And he wants you. That's why he made you. Now, if you don't function for the purpose God made you, you have no right to live. You live in fraudulently. If I give you $100 and tell you go buy 100 pounds of flour, and you bring me 100 pounds of rice, you have used my money fraudulently. Let me say it again with respect. God made us for his glory. To glorify Satan is to live God's life fraudulently, and we have no right to live. That's why the greatest favor God can do to a hardened sinner is to kill him. Did you hear what I said? The greatest favor God can do, notice I said a hardened sinner, is to kill him. Because the sooner he dies, the less he suffers in the flames of hell. God is always merciful. Let's look on the bright side. God wants you as an instrument. That when people see you, they may see some inkling of God. Can you say amen? How many of you will say, Father, here am I, use me as an instrument. Can I see your right hand? Keep your hands up. Anyone else? Use me as an instrument. Stand up with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, if I have preached badly, forgive me. If I said something I should not have said, and probably I did, because the carnal nature is always trying to exalt itself. If I did that, forgive me. And let it not ruin the effect of the message. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your agent, who's also equal with you. Please, Father, move upon the hearts of those who heard and who are still listening. Because to listen to a message and walk away without a decision, it's as good as not having listened at all. Now, Father, I'm about to make a call. As I do that, tell me what to say, how to say it, the attitude with which to say it, and let your Spirit move those who need to respond, whether in this building or via the internet. While your heads are closed, you're bowed and your eyes are closed, listen to what I have to say. If you know your life has not been an instrument for God, and there's only one other thing it could be. If you know your life has not been an instrument for the glory of God, and you want to say, Father, with a little honesty left in me, I know my life has not been glorifying you. You want that to change by your decision today. Father, I want to be an instrument to demonstrate and advertise your glory. Let me repeat, if you know in your heart your life has not been an instrument of God's glory and you want to decide right now to change that, come. Don't look around, just come. My life has not been an instrument of God's glory, and I know that. God knows it, I know it, no one else knows. I'm tired of that. I want to be an instrument, tool, an agent that God uses for his glory, in deed and in truth. Come. You can fool me, anyone can. You can fool yourself, most people do. We cannot fool God. I want my life to be an instrument God uses to let the world see there's a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of forgiveness, a God who keeps his word, a God who cares for his people. That's the life I want to live, not a life that shows who Satan is. Anyone else? My life has not been an instrument for God's glory, I want that changed. Come. Then we'll pray. You know, when God said, let there be light, it happened instantly. When you say, forgive me, it happens instantly. Mm-hmm. Instantly. And don't wait to feel forgiven. Accept it. God doesn't work by feeling. He works by his instrument, the word. Thy sins be forgiven thee, he said to the man who was dropped through the roof. Instantly the man was forgiven. He told the woman who anointed his feet, thy sins are forgiven. Instantly she was forgiven. Let there be light. Instantly was light. But the difference between you and light is that you must believe that word. Light doesn't have to believe. I give you 60 more seconds and I'm done. My life has not been an instrument of God's glory. I'm deciding right now I want that changed. I make the decision. God makes the change in my life. Come. 60 seconds. Don't wait for another service at 3 o'clock. You may make it to 3, but it will not be exactly like this right now. You cannot reproduce a precise moment. So make the decision now. I want my life to be an instrument God uses to let the world see he's a God of love. 30 seconds. Those of you for whom this appeal does not apply, you should be praying that God will move on people's minds and hearts to respond. This is not a spectator sport. 15 seconds. I want my life. Let's be honest with God. That's all I'm saying to you and to myself. I want my life to reflect God. A tool, an instrument, an agent. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive those of us who've come. It's a courageous movement, dear God. We're saying we want our lives to reflect your glory and your glory alone. We want to say, as Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And this is possible for dear God, as you work through us, using the instrument of your word, the agent of the Holy Spirit, dear God, the agent of the cleansing blood of Christ. Forgive us, Father. When the Creator said, let there be light, there was light instantly. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he came forth instantly. Father, let us by faith hear you say, your sins are forgiven. Now let's accept it instantly, God, regardless of how we feel. Because to doubt your word is to call you a liar. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there someone listening to me? You know in your heart you need to make a decision to be baptized. It has been on your mind. The Spirit has been speaking to you. And you've not yet made that decision. Or you may need to be rebaptized because of the life you've lived. You may have drifted from your Savior. And you need to decide publicly, as Christ died publicly, Father, I need to be baptized or rebaptized. You just need to make that public decision. If there's someone like that, just raise your right hand. I need to be baptized. David, I see your hand. God bless you. Bless you. I see the brother behind David. But the bliss come and take some names. I see your hand back there, I believe. God bless you. I need someone to come and take names. This is very serious. There are two brothers to my right and a sister in the middle aisle. Any responsible member with pen and paper, just write the names for me. The call is, I need to be baptized or rebaptized. Take the names. Those of you who raise your hands, come right up front with me. Come, Brother David, come. My brother behind David, come. Just come right up with me. We're going to pray specially. Just come right up. My sister, come. Don't be afraid. If you're afraid, let your friend walk with you. The call is, I need to be baptized or rebaptized. Come right up to the top. There's more rejoicing in heaven. You know that statement? Mm-hmm. Come. God bless you. God bless you. I need seriously either to be baptized or rebaptize. Evangelism, page 375, paragraph 2. When a soul is truly reconverted, let that soul be rebaptized. Let him renew his covenant with God, and God will renew his covenant with him. Reconversion must take place among the members. I'm about to pray. Anyone else? Baptism, rebaptism, write your name, the church where you go, so proper contacts can be made. Anyone else? And the first call was, my life has not been an instrument for the glory of God. I'm tired of that, Father. Here I am. Now you use me. As Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And you and I are saying, here I am, use me, dear God, to be a reflector of your glory. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, I've done what I could as a human being. I leave the rest in your hand. Well, actually, the whole thing in your hands, Father. I ask you in the name of Jesus, give no rest to those who need to really give their lives to you, that they may be tools by which you advertise your glory to the world. And for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who needs to make a decision for baptism or rebaptism, as the case may be, as they are convicted, give them no rest until they make that choice. Father, we thank you for being long-suffering, dear God. Keep the doors of mercy ajar a little longer, dear God, please. Because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and we can't forget that part. Now let the words that we heard remain on our hearts and our minds. Bring us back at 3 to hear your word again. We pray for our hearts in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. I say a special prayer now for those who came. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we have some responses for baptism, rebaptism. The Bible says through baptism we put on Jesus. Through baptism we die to the old self. We rise to newness of life even as Christ rose. In the name of Jesus, dear God, give them an extra portion of your spirit that nothing will change their minds from this decision which has brought joy to your heart. Sustain them, defend them from discouraging words from friends and family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.